Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 14, The Forest of Enjoyment, Text Number 45. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Even though in the body of a deer, Maharaj Bharat did not forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore when he was giving up the body of a deer, he loudly uttered the following prayer. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is sacrifice personified. He gives the results of ritualistic activities. He is protector of religious systems, the personification of mystic yoga, the source of all knowledge, the controller of the entire creation, and the super soul in every living entity. He is beautiful and attractive. I am quitting this body, offering obeisances unto him, and hoping that I may perpetually engage in his transcendent loving service. Uttering this, Maharaj Bharat left his body. Purport. The entire Vedas are meant for understanding of karma, jnana, and yoga, free of activity, speculative knowledge, and mystic yoga. Whatever way of spiritual realization we accept, the ultimate goal is Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The living entities are eternally connected with him via devotional service. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Ante Narayana Smriti, the perfection of life is to remember Narayan at the time of death. Although Bharat Maharaj had to accept the body of a deer, he could remember Narayan at the time of death. Consequently, he took birth as a perfect devotee and a Brahmana family. This confirms the statement of Bhagavad Gita 6:41. Suchinam Srimatam Gehe Yogo Brashto Bijayate. One who falls from the path of self-realization takes birth in a family of Brahmanas or wealthy aristocrats. Although Maharaj Bharat appeared in the royal family, he became neglectful and took the body of a deer, took birth as a deer. Because he was very cautious within his deer body, he took birth in a Brahmana family as Jata Bharata. During this lifetime, he remained perfectly Krishna conscious and preached the gospel of Krishna consciousness directly, beginning with his instructions to Maharaj Rahugana. In this regard, the word yogaya is very significant. The purpose of Astanga Yoga, as stated by Namadvacharya, is to link or connect with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Goal is not to display some material perfections. Among Vishnu Vidaya Krishna, read at least the translation. Even though in the body of a deer, Maharaj Bharat did not forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, when he was giving up the body of a deer, he loudly uttered the following prayer. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is sacrifice personified. He gives the results of ritualistic activity. He is the protector of religious systems, the personification of mystic yoga, the source of all knowledge, the controller of the entire creation, and the super soul in every living entity. He is beautiful and attractive. I am quitting this body, offering obeisances unto him, and hoping that I may perpetually engage in his transcendent loving service. Uttering this, Maharaj Bharat left his body. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutta Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasutundeve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskatya Desatarne. The progress from karma yoga or karma to jnana to yoga is explained in the Bhagavad Gita, that the aim of jnana, the aim of karma, is not to have a better situation in material existence. The aim of karma yoga is to obtain a peaceful mind. Because if we're always hankering, we're always lamenting about what happened in the past or what's going to happen in the future, then it's impossible to have a peaceful mind. And unless we have a peaceful mind, we can't understand, hear with attention. And we don't hear with attention, we won't understand things as they are. On the other hand, if we simply execute our duties very, very perfectly, and we don't develop any knowledge, then this remains, as Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, it remains on the material platform and doesn't really bestow any permanent result. One may follow the Vedic culture or the Vedic rules and regulations perfectly, even for 100 births, like Lord Brahma. He became Lord Brahma after following the Vedic culture for 100 births. He followed his duty in the Varnashram system perfectly for 100 births, and then he became eligible to become Lord Brahma. But Lord Brahma is not a permanent position either. It's another temporary body, although compared to our body, it lasts seemingly for a phenomenal amount of time, but eventually so many Brahmas have come, and so many Brahmas will go. And unless the Brahma actually becomes a devotee of Krishna, then he has to, doesn't necessarily mean he becomes back as Brahma again. Similarly, even when we get a very peaceful mind and we're able to execute the Vedic injunctions and understanding things perfectly means to realize that we're not the body. Since we're not the body, if we execute austerities and hear from the right source how to fix our mind on Brahman, then we can realize we're not the body. But even that's temporary. Aruya krichena paramparam tada pashantana nadritu yushma angrayaha yanyaya ravindaksha vimuktamaninas parasta bhavara vishuddha buddhaya aruya krichena padampadam tada pashantana nadritu yushma angrayaha. If one takes a very serious process of yoga, or actually jnana, and one rises up to realize I'm not this body, but if one doesn't have shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna, then one is sure to eventually fall down again. So after getting knowledge that we're not the body, that we're spiritual souls, then one may realize that I should act as a spirit soul. And that means devotional service begins. If one is fortunate enough to get the association of a pure devotee or pure devotees who can tell us how to act as a spiritual soul, namely hear about Krishna, chant about Krishna, remember Krishna, serve Krishna, become a friend of Krishna, offer everything to Krishna, etc. Then if one is acting on the spiritual platform, then that's called actual yoga, actually connecting with Krishna. Nowadays, of course, yoga has become synonymous with doing some exercise. They think the perfection of yoga is to put your foot behind your neck and stand on one toe. And of course, because so many people can do that, therefore there are so-called yogis, now they stand on one hand or they stand on their head without any hands. You have to get a little bit more perfect than the other yogi is, or else you're not really considered a very important yogi. So these yoga, so-called yoga schools, so-called yoga postures, are actually not part of yoga. They're part of which came from Sweden. They came from the contortionists. In Sweden in the 1900s, they had contortionists who would do all these things, and they go on their shows and make money by contorting their body like a pretzel in different ways. And at least one, somehow or another, came to India, and at least one person took it very seriously, put on a show for the king that he was working for, and they started to call that yoga. Because no one in India took it seriously, they thought these people were just wasting their time. They weren't so foolish back then. And later on, some people came from the West, saw all these people, and they thought that was yoga. That became implanted in the West is something called yoga, stretching your body, contorting your body in so many different ways. And now people think that's what yoga is. As a matter of fact, sometimes even the devotees think it's part of yoga. But actually has nothing to do. It was partly it came from the contortionists from Sweden and partially from the YMCA. That is, the YMCA, the Young Men's, Women, and Men's Association, were invented some of these postures, some of these exercises to get people moving because they were sedentary. They weren't moving very much. In order to encourage them to do some exercise, they came up with these activities. They never called them yoga until they got to India. And then, of course, to get anything, if you do anything, it must be yoga. Otherwise, no one will take you seriously. And even when they did these things, certain persons did these, no one took them seriously. Because they realized it's just bodily exercise. But actual yoga is connect with Krishna. And we connect with Krishna with our consciousness. Of course, we can perform karma yoga. That is, we serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission without attachment. We utilize this body for the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then we try to understand things properly through the process of hearing. We obtain the knowledge that actually everything here belongs to Krishna. And we're doing things just to please Krishna because he's everywhere, etc. The whole sambandha is called jnana yoga. And when we actually become conscious of Krishna, that is actually yoga. Without becoming conscious of Krishna, then it's just a waste of time. Shrama evahi kevalam. Unless we become conscious of Krishna, then we haven't really made any progress. Except that maybe those who are contorting their bodies, they'll come back and get the opportunity to contort their bodies again in the next lifetime. And hopefully they'll, nowadays of course people have got bored with all this contortionism. They saw that they weren't going anywhere, so they start to have kirtan yoga. Unfortunately, because of the lack of knowledge, they have all these mayavadi kirtan yogas. They chant Hare Krishna and Om Shivaya Namaha and Durga Ma or something. So they become attracted to so-called yoga by these bodily exercises and because they don't have proper association. And generally speaking, because they don't want to give up sense gratification. Most people practice yoga doing so they can keep their body fit for sense gratification. Most people are not transcendentalists. Trying to meditate upon the super soul by asana, and then practice pranayama and pratyahara and dharana, dhyana, and samadhi. Most people just want to keep their body fit so they can eat more, they can sleep more peacefully, they can have more sex life, and they feel strong so they can defend themselves. But this is not, as we said, the purpose of yoga. If someone just chants Hare Krishna, then they're actually doing yoga. Because people don't think, well, this is just so superficial, just singing something, and that's yoga. These people are so weak, they can't even put their foot behind their head. How can they be doing yoga? When
World War II?
Bose, Chandra Bose. Subhas Chandra Bose. When he came to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada and he wanted to get his men to join his movement to fight against the British, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, my devotees are all weak, skinny. They won't be able to help you. So Chandra Bose gave up. Yes, they all look pretty weak, skinny. What can they do for my army? So there's an advantage. I mean, it's not that by yoga process, one will become strong and fit, be able to eat nails. When I joined the movement, I got initiated by mail. My
roommate, he also got initiated by mail.
I wrote Prabhupada a letter, and he wrote me back a response. And my roommate wrote a letter, too. He must have asked, is it right to practice Hatha Yoga? And Prabhupada said, no. He said, this is just for people who want to digest more food. It's really not necessary. Of course, sometimes the devotees have to do a little exercise because they don't digest their food. So a little exercise is not bad, but we shouldn't think this is a substitute for yoga, as sometimes devotees think. Yes, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, but if I go out and I do Hatha Yoga 2 hours a day, that's also yoga. Doing Hatha Yoga 2 hours a day does not connect one at all with Krishna. But it may keep the body fit if you do it properly. The biggest cause of injury in any sport, the biggest sport that there's injury in is yoga. More people injure themselves by doing yoga than any other sport. So people do it for health and they wind up crippled sometimes. Because the body is really not meant to be contorted in so many different ways. Where do we find in the Vedic literature that anyone had reached perfection when their foot went behind their leg, behind their neck, where they were able to stand on their head? Do we find any instance in the Srimad Bhagavatam? Although they did practice pranayama and pratyahara and dharana, dhyana, samadhi, that's there, but that would take thousands of years. It wouldn't be so simple to perfect those things. What to speak of in Kali Yuga? One time Prabhupada said to the devotees in Vrindavan, he said, yes, let's practice the real yoga. In Vrindavan, he said, set up a room, and in that room, we'll put a kusa grass mat, and we'll cover it with a deer skin and a soft cloth. And we'll have the devotees sit on it. And look at the tip of their nose and try to practice yoga that way. So we should advertise we're practicing the real yoga. Of course, the devotees never did that. I don't think you put a kusa grass and a deer skin and then who's going to sit down there and try to practice yoga by looking at the tip of the nose? It's not very exciting. And people, because they're very passionate, they want something more energetic than that. So nowadays they have, for every person who's teaching yoga, they have their own yoga. And there are thousands of teachers, so there are thousands of yogas, so-called yoga. And none of them are making any progress towards the ultimate goal of life. Although they are making progress towards their foot getting a little closer to the back of their head. And when you hear the snap, then you know you've made it. Wow, look at that. It goes very easily behind my neck because I can't walk anymore, but I've reached the perfection of yoga. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. Yeah. No. Yeah. No. If you remember Krishna and only Krishna, which means if one is complete, you have to be at least on the platform of bhava. You have to be not only just remembering Krishna superficially, it has to be Krishna's name, form, quality, and pastimes, completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Then you can go to Krishna. Yeah, it seems like that. But he had to take another birth. Well, Rupa Goswami says devotional service is generally a continuum over many lifetimes. So we think that it's so superficial that somehow or another I'm just going to chant 16 rounds a day. I'm sure to go back to Godhead. That's not the way things work. Although prophets sometimes would say things like that because the devotees are so impatient. they thought they actually had to become serious, they'd never take to the process. So probably to try and be as encouraging as possible. But still, the perfection has to be there. We find in Krishna Leela that no one reached Krishna Leela, at least amongst the gopis, unless they were at least on the stage of advanced stage of bhava. We don't find, you know, neophyte devotees in gopis, Krishna's Leela. And even the residents of Vrindavan, even there in Dwarka, even they were there, they weren't necessarily very intimately connected with Krishna. It depended upon how much their devotional service had advanced. So we have to actually want to go back to Godhead. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed us the example of how anxious we have to be to go back to Godhead to actually achieve the spiritual state of consciousness. Whereas Krishna says, Tachi tam samadhatum nasakshna simayistiram abhyasena yogena tato mam ischantum dunanjaya. If you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, then follow the regular principles of bhakti yoga, and this way try to develop the desire to obtain me. So it takes an intense desire. And obviously, if the dear body, he had some desire to obtain Krishna, but it wasn't sufficient. And therefore he got a body. From the beginning, he was absorbed in Krishna consciousness, almost on that platform. Not that we don't know. It's not. But it is.
It's more of a technical guide for controlling the mind.
Yeah, it's mostly Astanga Yoga. Who Patanjali is and where he got it from is not really known.
But obviously, your spiritual master took him seriously.
Yeah, because he outlines the Astanga Yoga process. But who he was when he wrote it and where he got it from. This knowledge is explained in the Bhagavad Gita, so it was current for many, many years. Kardama Muni practiced it, so the knowledge is there. But exactly who this particular Patanjali was and what he was doing, where he got it from, I don't know. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grantarai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hur Premanande.